I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
And Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year!
January 1st, 2020. We made it. We did it.
Times Square still stands.
Yeah. Oh, and our guest for this inaugural for the new year. So excited. Mark, let the children know who he is.
Oh, right. He's a performer and teacher at UCB. And he didn't mention this, but he's also an author.
That's true.
And co-host of the podcast, Screw It. We're just going to talk about comics.
That's how it should be said.
It's Will Hines.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi, Will. Enjoying the new year.
Happy New Year, Will.
This is January 1st, 2020.
I'm so excited. We've made it. Yeah, I can't believe it. I rushed right over here after midnight.
You're covering confetti.
Yeah, I was like, so I got to go. I got to go.
Marks
I don't have
all
long.
Over your head.
Yeah. Grabbed every kiss with consent. I invited kisses, and those who were willing kissed me. It was real gross. And then I hopped to the car and drove over here.
Nice. And I believe your 2020 novelty eyeglasses are prescription.
These are prescription. Yes, I'm wearing these all year.
Wow.
I'm doubling down on these. Yeah.
And I look
through the twos.
But it's ironic because you're prescription, but your vision is anything but 2020.
Anything but, yeah. So it's a walking joke.
That's very funny.
For those
people
who are hip to it, yeah.
Eyewear humor.
People like literal irony. Like, when the word is different than what it is.
Sure.
Yeah. Because irony itself is not complicated enough. They have to make it... I'm going down a rabbit hole.
I mean, Alanis Morissette can figure it out. Those things are unfortunate, not ironic.
Yeah, which really held her up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one would have done so much better. She took another pass at that song.
Another 10 billion people would have bought it if only she had been grammatically correct. Because that's what pop music fans want. They want... words of speech being used right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't need no education. Double negative.
Yeah. Step it up, everybody.
Is New Year's like a favorite holiday of yours?
I do like New Year's.
You do?
Yes. surprises you. What do you think of it?
I don't know. It's boring. I don't know. It's not for me.
I feel like I'm always dreading it, and then it's always fun. And I feel the same way about like Halloween. I'll be dreading it, and then it's always great. Valentine's Day I dread, Thanksgiving I dread, and I'm right to dread those.
Okay, interesting that you think Thanksgiving is dreadable.
Yeah.
I dread Thanksgiving.
What's so
bad?
But
I like Christmas.
That's interesting. It's usually flipped.
Well, now it's... Oh, really?
I think most people think Thanksgiving is like, oh, you just got to eat. Like, there's not the pressure of it's easy.
Oh, I think it's harder for some reason.
Really? Wow. What are you doing on Thanksgiving? Are you killing the turkey yourself?
I kill the turkey myself. I go out and I strangle it. I have to watch it die. It's a tradition.
I don't think you have to do that.
I decided that.
Okay, well...
Yeah. Somebody in my family said it as a joke, and I was like, I'm doing it.
Committing to this bit.
Cut to me in the woods, hunting.
We're not 2020 glasses. Anything.
No cutting?
No cutting.
We don't like that convention?
No, save it for...
You're taking a stand?
Save it for Earwolf.
Wow. What a dumb way to go against a company that... What a war that nobody would notice.
Cut-free zone over here.
Is that like an earwolf thing?
Known for their cuts. I like a New Year's... I do. I would say I don't like a big party, but I like...
An intimate gathering?
It's a fun moment like when you're like with just a small group or something. All of a sudden, at midnight, you hear sounds across the city. Like you hear it's one of those few moments in the year where you feel like, oh, everyone's doing the same thing at the same
time. All participating. Yeah.
I can't think of another time in the year when that happens.
Oscar night. You know, best movie gets announced and the town's
oh! sure. Fireworks going off in Boyle Heights. They were so thrilled when Green Book won.
But I think like each holiday, I think about like what homework you have to do for it, and is that homework fun? So Halloween actually is fun homework, like the costumes and all that stuff. And New Year's, the homework is basically like a party. Like you just have to have a party of some kind
to go to.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. Of course, you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. That's what the expectation is for the holiday.
Right.
Do you like? I'm not a foodie. Maybe that's what my problem is.
Do you like July 4th? Like,
maybe you just don't like the Thanksgiving meal.
Don't like July 4th. Yeah, I'm not so into the meal.
Okay.
Maybe if it was like a movie night.
Do you not like the food at Thanksgiving? Or are you not like turkey and sweet potatoes?
It's not the particular food. It's just that food as a thing doesn't excite me. Like, oh, sitting there for dinner, it's like, great. How long is this going to go on for? Jeez Louise.
Have to talk to people?
Yeah, we got
to think about what we're thankful for.
I feel like indie movies will often have a scene of the main characters eating and the director will really like sit there and like sit in it for a while and it'll be slow and all these like, ooh, so filled with pregnant pauses and meaning. And I'd be like, let's get out of this. When are they going to start talking again? Enough with the meals, indie directors.
So you would hate
And Juan Carwai, I am talking to you.
Wow. He leaves us a review every week.
Yeah.
So you would hate my dinner with Andre.
I actually love my dinner with Andre.
Oh, boy.
But it's all talking. There's almost no eating.
Sure.
Like, the meal's over by the time we
the meal is a MacGuffin, really.
It's really more like my chit-chat with Andre.
Yeah, my post-dinner chit-chat with Andre. I love that movie. That movie caught me by complete surprise. Have you seen it?
Years ago, but yes.
Do you remember liking it?
I do remember liking it.
It's good, right? Like, yes, I thought it was going to be like an... Have you seen it, John?
Not recently, but yes, I've seen it a couple
times.
And
do you like it?
Yes,
oh, a couple very times. Much. Yeah, yeah, you must. You know, it's like, it was a joke, like a punchline, because it's like nothing happens. They sit there and they just talk for the whole
conversation, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it was in the 80s, I feel like it was such a common punchline. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, what is this, my dinner with Andre? Or like whatever would be. People would just say that to each other, right? Actually, I can't think of an example when that happened, but... But like, and then I didn't watch it until like 4 years ago. And then I finally watched it. And it was like so good. I was like, oh, this movie's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's. I guess my expectations were so low that I was like delightfully surprised. It really stayed with me.
But you don't like a movie where there are people are actually eating.
Eating. It's like the taking a long time where there's like forks and knives cutting stuff up and dipping it over here. And then how do you like this? And what do you think we should happen with the skin over here? And what do you? It's like, give me a break.
So you would hate Top Chef.
Top Chef. I've never seen it.
What about this Last Supper painting?
Don't like it. Too much food. Can we have them just? Can they be playing golf? Can they be like hanging out?
Just
can we
just hanging out around
fishing,
a bonfire?
They're fishermen, right? Let's see them doing what they're good at. See them like.
Did Jesus fish?
The apostles were. He was a fisher
of men. Some
of
them were. Yes. Yes. I mean, the fish and the loaves.
Yeah.
If you can walk on water, it's pretty easy.
How so?
To fish, you're just right there. You don't. Have
oh,
to,
if you can walk on water, yeah. He should have been a fisherman.
Yeah, what's he doing with his life?
Yeah,
God.
So should Moses part the Red Sea, pick up all the fish that are on the ground. There's
is
a lot
carpenter
of
really the best use of his skills?
No, I don't think so. Diplomacy is clearly where
he should have owned a farm to table restaurant or something.
Oh yeah, never run out of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Or a clinic, like a
winery.
Clinic. Yeah. You know? There's lots of uses besides.
If
carpentry.
Only we could cut to a scene.
If this was on an Earwolf network, we could cut to that, but we're not allowed to do it. So
that is not the world we live in.
That option is not available to us.
Sadly, it is not.
John, did we hear your New Year's thoughts?
I enjoy New Year's. I think. I was curious. Are you guys like big into the like? Oh, it's the new year. Make a resolution or like. Relooking at life or anything like that.
I don't ever really do it.
What I've started to do over the past couple of years was at the new year, like. Go through everything in my like apartment or house and just be like, okay, let me go through everything in this room to see what do I really need? What can I get rid of? And I usually end up donating and getting rid of a lot of stuff at the beginning of the year. And it always feels good. You always like feel lighter.
Yeah. Like a possessions purge.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So that
That's something that
you
start
have
doing,
made
yeah.
out of a trumpet has survived every
that
year.
That has survived, yes, every year.
So we walk around this apartment. Everything here is like several past
several
years.
Drafts.
Like,
yeah, yeah,
this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Those chimes on the lamp.
Yep, those are there. They've been there for a while. We moved them because Mark kept leaning into them when we were recording, so there are all these dings in the podcast.
It happened once.
Yeah, that's what you're known for.
My dings. Yeah. Yeah.
Always literally wearing bells. Here with bells on, Mark Rennie. You
if know. He doesn't have bells on, he'll get them on. He'll lean into them.
He'll find any bells in the house and just put them on somehow.
What do you think of this line of joke?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's funniest thing I've ever heard.
Cut to the writer's room for Two Old Queens. We need more bell stuff. Rennie, you got to hit the bells.
They love my bell
more bells.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into
Let's do it.
Our movie?
Let's get
for
into
the
our
day?
Movie.
The
yes.
movie, we are just, it's our final. Oh, we are in Holidays Jubilee 2019.
Okay.
This
we're
is our final
yeah,
one,
yes.
a New Year's Eve movie.
Okay.
We are talking When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry That's Met right. Sally, yes. And that is a 1989 American romantic comedy film mm-hmm. directed by Rob Reiner and written by Nora Ephron, who was nominated for an Oscar for the screenplay of this movie.
Deserves it.
It stars Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan, Carrie Fisher, and Bruno Kirby. And the story follows the title characters from the time they meet just before sharing a cross-country drive through 12 years of chance encounters in New York City.
So, Will, yeah. we asked you to bring in any movie you wanted.
That's
why
right.
when Harry well, any New Year's Eve movie? There was a,
yes.
Yeah, it was
very
a
narrow.
Pretty big pretty restriction. Narrow, yeah. I the New Year's Eve restriction that's that
really
limits the field
the
somewhat.
Sure, sure.
Yes,
it was this or 200 cigarettes.
Yeah, which I don't mind.
So why When Harry Met Sally? Do you have a history with?
I love
film?
It. I love the movie.
You've
I think
seen
it's,
it.
I've seen it. Yes.
Great.
Yeah, I didn't just pick it based on the title.
Sure.
I've seen the movie. I saw it in the theaters. I've seen it maybe five or six times since
wow.
then.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love it. It's like the sweet spot of – it's got the right amount of quips, but it's not too quippy. It's got the right amount of sweetness, but it's not too sweet. Like Sleepless in Seattle, too sweet for me.
Oh, okay. Boy.
But Harry Met Sally is I had a little
Enough
just a little
the
bitterness.
Nora Ephron
snark yeah, a little of that
there.
Sourness, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still basically a sentimental movie. It's like an Annie Hall for normal people.
Right.
Right, definitely.
And yeah, and I love Billy Crystal and I love Meg Ryan, so I think they're both great in this.
Sure.
Well cast and they mm-hmm. do such a great job.
I mean, it is considered by a lot like a very like the quintessential romantic comedy.
Yeah. And it's so quotable. It's a quotable mm-hmm. movie. I feel like it's one of those. It's a rewatchable movie. I think mm-hmm. you can kind of come in halfway through and want to like mm-hmm. ride it out to the end. It is sort of weirdly relatable in a way that a comedy is. And then when you think about it, like, actually, these people have nothing to do with me. Why am I relating to these wealthy New Yorkers who have right. a pretty, like, you know, high, you know, pretty, like, wealthy living and high cultured and.
Yeah.
But somehow I guess you aspire to chat as wittily as they do.
Well, sure. Who wouldn't want to chat like Nora Ephron and Carrie Fisher?
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess the dialogue and. Mm-hmm. And the and that's it. That's the only reason.
So, what do you think of the central sort of like premise of the movie of like men and women cannot be friends?
It's one of those great premises that is not true, but everybody likes to believe it's true and argue about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like differences between men and women that gets made fun of as a hack comedy
uh-huh,
topic,
sure.
right? But unfortunately, it also works every time. Like regular audiences are not mm-hmm. tired of the differences between men and women; they love it,
mm-hmm.
they remain obsessed with it, and us comedians can be fussy about it and turn up our noses. But then, when somebody deigns to trot out a differences between men and women movie, the normal audiences are like, "This is great." Let's talk about it. We like to identify ourselves in these groups and get mad about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's fun. I also maybe hadn't seen it hit as hard when it came out.
How do you mean?
I feel like it's the kind of romantic comedy like since then there's sort of.
Oh, well, it's like still talked about. Like it's been like,
it's like
30
like
years.
More cliche because of it than it was when it came out sort of. Like
well,
it became
is sort
the
of
cliche.
Given credit for like coining some terms of like a transition person and also like a high maintenance like those ideas sort of were
well,
introduced
in this
movie.
And also just the style
movie.
Of this like romantic comedy with all like you know old you know, crooners, and like it sounds like you know, the Bellagio fountain show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's yeah. like
the Great American Songbook.
Yeah, it's like that. Like it kind of that every romantic comedy after this did that.
Mm-hmm, definitely,
I had never seen it before. And Sleepless in Seattle is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, really? Alrighty.
Yeah, you've
so
never
how do you
seen
feel?
This. So I'm really
I've never
curious.
Seen this.
I'm really curious what you think about it.
I really liked it. I think it's great. I don't. I like Sleepless in Seattle more because I like that structure a lot. How it's just really long scenes, and then the two people don't meet to the very end. I
yes.
think that's
yes.
great.
Sure.
But I loved it. I think it's great. Meg Ryan's great. Everyone's great. Everyone's great. What
I'm,
you say?
I'm glad you liked it.
I did like it a lot. I mean, Nora Ephron's a genius, and Rob Reiner has directed like 4 or 5 great movies.
I mean, he was on such an insane tear from like
Stand By 84. Me.
Yeah, Stand By Me, Spinal Tap, Princess Bride,
Misery,
Harry Met Sally, Princess. I mean, that's. What a run!
Yeah,
to then not be able to do a good movie ever again. It's crazy.
Well, he's too busy doing fundraisers for Joe Biden. I think.
Oh, okay, yeah, but yeah, like well, you can't have a better run than he did for a while. And I also feel like I feel like Nora Ephron. I think she is a genius. I think she's like just a comedic genius.
Yeah,
she had this amazing career even before she became a screenwriter. And I've read I read Heartburn, and I like the movie Heartburn. Mm. And do you ever hear of not? The New York Times and not the Wall Street Journal.
No.
She was part of this like little gang of comedians in like early 80s, like smart, hip New York, before any of them made it. Maybe it was late 70s. I think it was early 80s. And they did like a New York Times parody called Not the New York Times that was like among comedians, like legendary. Yeah. I wish I could tell you anybody else who did it, but it was like Nora Ephron and other people. And they all went on to like work. It was like their first thing.
Gotcha.
And then they all went on to like, it's like Godspell. And Canada had all those like, it's like one of those things where a lot of people
just happened to go through it at that one moment in time.
Yeah. And like,
it's like a precursor to The Onion kind of.
Yes. But long before that, it was like a one shot thing. But I remember like as a young comedy nerd reading like National Lampoon back issues in like 1984 or something, somebody saying, oh, you should read Not the New York Times. And I was like, read it. And so I,
Nora how would Ephron you get was, it? Was it like published as a book or?
No, I was like, you'd get it like in a record store or something.
Okay.
Or a used bookstore. I don't remember how we got things before the internet. Comedy nerds would just pass shit around. You
right.
know, but like, so she's got this, I think of her and John Hughes as people who are always continually underrated, but beloved.
Oh, interesting.
Like Nora Ephron is a hit maker. Like how many hits did she have? I mean, people love Nora Ephron movies, but I think people are always willing to like dismiss her as like light.
Well, because
and
that's
substantial.
What they do to like romance in general.
Yeah.
There's this amazing documentary about romance writers. I think it's called like Love Between the Covers or something, but it's like, it makes a great point about like romance is like looked down upon. Like it's denigrated because it's like a woman genre or like because it's formulaic. Whereas mystery novels are just as formulaic.
Yeah. If you do like a crime novel,
there's no stigma to
that. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo is like almost high literature. But
yeah, guess what? They're going to figure out who killed the guy at the end.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And just like at a romance, guess what? They're going to end together.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to end up together. But romance is kind of looked down upon, I think, because it is like a woman's genre.
Maybe that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to say she's dismissed because she's not in terms of like box office appeal and popularity and just being famous. Like, she's one of the few screenwriters that everybody knows her name.
Like,
you
know
when she writes a movie. But I think she's like a genius. Like,
absolutely.
Harry Met Sally, even though it, you know, I think my emotional imprint of it is this like lighthearted romantic comedy, a lot of the conversations are legit interesting.
Well, and the core like conflict is like just super relatable.
It's super relatable, and she's not – and like it's an interesting – portrait of it. Like Billy Crystal they both go through an interesting change over the movie. Like he is this like mansplainer jerk, stubborn guy, and when the next time they meet he's getting married, he's already softened, and then he's broken, and she also is like this sort of maybe unconfident idealist and then kind of a controlling high maintenance person and then softens, like they're interesting at every step.
Well, also,
they're not like cliches to me. Like Nora had like thoughts about them and something to say.
I think it's so hard to have characters who are just like they're funny in ways that people are naturally funny.
Yes, like, they are just funny in the way your funny friends are funny.
Yeah,
right. It's not like there's this crazy set piece where like she drops all the trays in the restaurant or something over like that.
Here's a weird non-hot take. It is not hot, but I don't think anybody said it. But I feel like the television show Friends is weirdly like born out of the DNA of When Harry Met Sally.
Could be.
Like, yeah, friends with each other, lots of witty quips, but it feels normal.
Sure.
A sort of rarefied New York life that is presented as every day.
Right.
No lots real of white
black people.
Yeah.
John, what did you think of? What's your history of with When Harry Met Sally?
I saw it when it first came out, and I haven't really seen it since then. I remember feeling then, when it first came out, like very like... That premise, well, just like that premise of like, oh, men and women can't be friends, thinking like that was sort of patently absurd and sort of like being a little bit like that's
dumb. It's a degree away from like Mike Pence, like can't be alone with a woman, not his wife. It's the same, same thinking.
And like, I understand it too. I definitely get it like to a certain degree. And I think that's the thing. It's like there's something close to the truth about it, or like it's true. Maybe not all the time, definitely not all the time, but like I think probably a good percentage of the time. I understand that. But watching it again, I was, struck by how like it all the things we've said, like it is very funny, it holds up. It is also that funny thing of like there's so many, especially women I know, who feel like, oh, that movie like almost ruined them. Or you know what I mean? That was like, oh, this is what I want my romantic life to be. I want there to have this sort of thing of like some guy who we become friends with over years, and then suddenly it's like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, it's weird to mention the friend zone in modern times, but it's like sort of like romanticizes the friend zone or whatever, like that you can come back from it and date again. Or
well, don't you think it's less that men and women can't be friends, but it's more
seems more
men can't be friends with women.
Yeah,
and not have like any sexual component to them.
That's right. They're only interested if that's on the table.
Yeah,
or somehow in play to some degree. Yeah,
right. It's also interesting that Billy Crystal was such a star. I mean, I guess he still is, but like, I remember going to see it in the theaters and still feeling like Billy Crystal was new.
Yeah.
Like, he had been on SNL like 4 years before that and a huge. I feel like Billy Crystal is another person who is like hugely popular, lots of popular appeal, but comedians are always kind of like, eh, Billy Crystal, he's a hack. Or he's kind of shallow or something. Or
sure.
He's kind of in the Robin Williams. Robin Williams is a genius too, but like, where it's like, mainstream, not edgy or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think once you hit a certain degree, then like a certain level of
fame. But I think
Harry Met
Sally is what did it. Like, it was like, oh, this guy can do this. He's like a lead. He's like a lead romantic guy next to Meg Ryan.
City Slickers.
Yeah, that's true. Well, 1-2 punch.
Well, should we get into the scoring?
Yeah, let's do it.
As you may or may not know,
I do know.
Will.
I listen to the show.
I have to say this anyway.
No, I appreciate it.
In case someone else is listening.
Yeah,
for the
maybe
first
they're
time.
Just listening. They're used to hearing you talk about
Will Hines
MODOK.
Fans are like, or
MODOK. What a deep cut already. What a nerd.
I have a MODOK button on my denim jacket over
you
there.
You do?
Yeah.
What a great pull. Everybody, look up MODOK. I mean, comic book people all know MODOK, but.
Anyway, so we're looking for the gayest movie ever. We have a very elaborate and Byzantine scoring system with now up to over 20-something categories.
Yeah.
And at the end of these, you will then add a category which will become canon. And we will use from then on to as a prism through which to see how gay these movies are.
Okay.
Let me recap our top five.
Okay.
I think with this one, even though I think this is a great movie, I do not think it's going to do well. I do think you should also do the bottom five for this one.
Fair enough. Well, maybe just bottom five then?
Okay.
All right, we'll just do bottom five.
Let's just do bottom five.
All right. Last place, Good Will Hunting with a 16.10%.
Hey, that's pretty fair.
Bottom up from that, What About Bob? 16.44. Third from the bottom, Sabrina, the 1995 version, with a 19.07.
The new one?
The 95 one. Very new.
The new one in 95.
24 years ago.
I feel like that should have done a little higher.
Well, you know, we can't relitigate the past.
It's very testy when that idea comes up.
When does it end?
Cancel the show.
Second from the bottom, The Third Man, 24.33. And then fifth from the bottom.
Sure.
The Secret of NIMH with 33.23.
So let's see how you do with these guys.
I think I can beat those five.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll see. We got Carrie Fisher in this movie.
That's true.
Great. All right. So the first category is homoeroticism. Homoerotic is When Harry Met Sally.
And what's the scale?
Zero to 100.
We each get our own.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about like what is potentially homoerotic in this. To me, I mean, I think Billy Crystal is one of those people. Like, he's not unattractive, but he's not like sexy.
Attractive.
I wouldn't say he's like unattractive. Like he's not someone who like I don't want to keep looking at you. You know what I mean?
But it's more charisma than like.
So you're not repulsed by Billy Crystal.
Exactly.
You're
not like, repulsed. Like I don't mind like looking at him, but so I'm not like
true neutral.
Yeah, I could. You could say that.
You might as well be looking at like a hairless, sexless, genderless.
I don't
mannequin.
Think that's what he said.
But okay, but we did get. But Bruno Kirby does some stuff,
and Bruno Kirby's great.
He's great, and he was wearing denim shorts in a couple scenes that I was like, "All right, okay. I could see this."
Yeah.
Look, I'm just putting like what is potential. What could potentially be out there? Like what is? What are the things we could pull from here?
Not a lot.
You're correct. There is not a lot. But I'm just trying to make a case for what is there.
I appreciate that. You mean like research?
Exactly. Yes.
You watch the movie and took notes.
What do you think, Will?
This is a pretty heteronormative movie. I don't think there's hardly anything there.
I agree.
And it's weird because it takes place in New York, and I don't know. They could have done it, but it didn't. I don't know.
But it was also still like 89 was like it was still that time in movies where if someone was gay, that was the story.
That's true.
You know,
it was weird how it was like, I feel like 70s movies were more likely to be progressive. And then the 80s,
absolutely.
Everything got really like just maybe it was AIDS because or maybe AIDS, it was Reagan. It just like people wouldn't go near that. And then it wasn't until, I mean, I give Ellen credit. I think like the mid 90s things started to change again.
Yeah.
But this is right in the middle of it. Just sort of like, yeah, you're right. It's like if they're gay, they're super gay. It's like,
but it also like it's a movie about this gay person. It's not
or
like,
it's like,
oh,
this
like
very, yeah.
Meg Ryan's friend is gay. And that's just that,
that's
you
it,
know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, I've got my number.
All right,
go
first.
Five.
Out of 100, right?
Out of 100, yep.
I'm just, because this is Carrie Fisher's around and it's in New York, I feel like off screen you could imagine some really like
cool... The mere presence of Carrie Fisher makes it homoerotic?
Yes, I think so. Just like because you could imagine like some guys...
Do you know what homoerotic means?
It means quips and good personal essays.
That's erotic?
Right. I'm only kidding.
He's really into Oscar Wilde.
You jack off to The New Yorker?
Yeah. I jack off to Justified Pika type.
Oh, ah, interesting.
Yeah, just by my type.
For Bruno Kirby, I'm going to give it 15.
15? You are very generous.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Well, I typed a 2. Low. Ugh, I'm going to leave it a 2.
Okay. Wow.
Wow, that's how
type
lazy
of
you
God,
are.
God spoke through you.
God spoke through me. This is not the least homoerotic movie we've ever done.
Yeah.
But it's like the fourth least.
Yeah.
7.33 is the average. Okay. All right. Next category on a scale of 0 to 100, actual gay characters.
Are there any?
I don't think
there
are any.
There is a scene. There's like a brief moment where I believe Meg Ryan's in a tap class. So there's got to be some gay people in that.
Jesus. What are there men in it?
Yeah. Most tap classes are co-ed.
Do only gay straight people tap though?
Sure, but at least it was a packed class. There was a lot of guys in there.
It was
some
a pretty big New
be.
Year's Eve party at the end.
That's true.
It's the city of New York. Christopher Street's over there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. They're really not. Mm-hmm. This is the
it's again, literal it's background.
Gay characters are really invisible at this time.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right, I got a number.
All right, let's hear it.
Zero. There's nobody gay in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 9 just because,
nine?
Again, that tap class, there's got to be some
9%.
9%.
What would it take to give it a 0?
I guess 2 people and it's just
on
a man
a
raping
island
a woman.
Or
yeah, the whole time. Have to be aggressive, too. Like, you'd have to be no tenderness.
So you're saying this has more, you gave Submarine a 3.
Yeah.
So this
Submarine
is 3
wasn't
times
in New York.
We can't litigate
people.
The past. We can't litigate the past.
I'm just asking. I'm just asking. I just want a glimpse into your thought process.
Sure. I think there are more people around who were gay in When Harry Met Sally than in Submarine.
All right.
I can see that.
Oh, and also more. All right. I'm not going to. I could do this forever. Camp Factor.
What was your number for that?
0.
0.
Okay.
Got
a 3. Camp Factor.
How campy is When Harry Met Sally?
I mean, the short answer is not a lot.
Yeah.
But there is something about just like tons of witticisms and quips that sort of puts it campy.
There's something campy about a 3-way split screen.
Yeah. That was
I
fun.
I would say.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's very like Doris Day, Rock Hudson.
Very
pillow talk.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right,
we're talking pillow talk.
That's pretty campy. I mean,
campy.
Relative to it,
sure.
A barren landscape here.
I mean, I wouldn't trust Rob Reiner to bring the camp.
No.
So, yeah.
Not his forte.
Is there anything else?
I mean, I guess it's Harry. If only like Harry Connick Jr. like shot somebody, this would make it campier. You know, if he was like went on a rampage or something
in the movie,
that would make it campier.
Life, like, oh, you know, the guy did this music. He ended like shooting up a bunch of people at the Hard Rock
Cafe.
I don't
see how that makes it campy.
It has that campy?
What adds like a macabre element? It adds a weird like
that's
fun,
a different category,
like,
but all right.
No, it'd be weird trivia.
Okay. So camp to you equals weird trivia?
You know how they say there's a dead person in the back of Three
Wizard
Minute
of Oz?
Baby?
Oh, 3 Minute Baby, right.
I think that kind of umps the camp, I think, having like weird ghoulish
having
trivia.
Having this weird sort of, okay.
But that didn't happen.
But it didn't happen.
Didn't
so.
Happen, yeah. So I do think there's smidgens of sort of camp ingredients that just did not combine to make actual camp.
Okay.
Like, I think there's no camp, but there's sort of like some of the ingredients that you need to make it, like, could it,
sure.
But they just didn't really come together.
Well, her having a Rolodex, Carrie Fisher's character has a
Rolodex
of
that
men.
Was fun. Yeah.
And then I love when the one of them's married, so she just folds the corner, doesn't destroy it.
Yeah.
They'll be back. I can unfold this corner when that happens.
Oh, it's such a funny line.
Yeah.
God, I love it.
So what are you going to give it, Will, for camp?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right.
Is that too high or too
low?
No.
That's your score. There's no right answer.
I think it's not campy.
Well, I'm just trying to be right.
I mean, mine are the correct answers. But.
Yeah, yours are the true canon.
Thank you. That's on the back of the box.
Oh, boy. It was real great having you as a guest, Will. Camp Factor. Yeah, it's pretty low. I'm going to give it I'll give it an 8 as well. Yeah.
8. You know, I'm going to give it a 12.
Okay,
there we go.
Look at that.
For, like, the Carrie Fisher element.
All right.
Okay, next category. Makeover montage on a scale of 0 to 100. John usually has something to pull out of his ass for this.
I usually try to. But I don't think there really was. Unless you want to say their relationship was made over, there were a few montage-y things that happened.
Do you
there were
think
a few montages.
I want to say that?
I know you don't, but I feel montages? Like we need to at least debate it.
Yeah, I don't think there are montages.
There was something where like they were sort of dating. I remember like one part where she was like putting letters in one at a time in the mailbox, and then they were doing.
Yes,
it was sort of like a dating montage.
Yeah.
But like
a friend dating montage.
There definitely was that.
Sure.
And they had different clothes throughout it. And Billy Crystal's hair got a little different.
Than just changing
I'm just talking about things.
I know.
I mean, all romantic comedies in a way are a makeover montage. Like,
that's
just
true.
Slowed down.
That
every movie, then there's a beginning and the end, and something changes in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
that's pretty much every movie.
Collection of clips. So then I guess it's 100 then. Because we've no choice but to give this movie 100.
I'm gonna give it a 0. There's no makeover montage in this movie.
John.
I'll give it a 3.
3. Yeah. I got to give it a 0.
Yeah.
Okay.
Third movie in a row I've given a 0 to in this category.
Okay.
How disappointing.
He's a real he's
got
tough
integrity.
But fair.
I've got integrity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category. Over the top wardrobe on a scale of 0 to 100.
There's got to be something.
This was tough. I was watching because it is like that period of fashion where it was all very muted and it was very like unflashy.
Earth tones. Pastels.
Yeah. Yes. To me though, what was sort of very like was like, oh, that's a lot was shoulder pads. There was woman had shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Of a significant thickness.
It still looks 80s.
But yeah, to me, like for the time though, that wasn't over the top. It didn't seem like a big choice was made.
But it ends up looking that way.
But it does feel a little like more than the wardrobe needs.
Yeah,
it's not like Joan Crawford and Berserk where you're like, whoa, those
true.
Are big choices.
Yes, yes,
you know,
I agree.
Is not,
that is
all,
a chunky necklace she is
right.
wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
we
is
don't
all,
have any of that,
this
really.
This is all literally like off the rack.
Yeah, I agree. There's not a lot.
But there's just an inherent bigness to the era, right,
yeah.
that the movie reflects well.
But I would think you would need to go even bigger then if it's going to be over the top, because that's just the top.
I'm not going to count that as a baseline. I'm going to say that it gets credit for... Because like they could have gone down. They could have like tried to make it
flannel.
A timeless style or something. Yeah, they
sure.
could have. Everyone could have a flannel
burka
without explanation. Just everyone's got a flannel burka. Yeah. They don't talk about.
We didn't make any choice.
Yeah, sweatpants and just like boxes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it.
Now you're talking Old Navy.
I'm going to give it a 15.
15.
And that is just. And you're right that it's not any bigger than the era requires.
Yeah.
But they.
Right.
They allowed that through. So
yeah.
I'm going to say.
I'm going to give it a 12.
12. I'll give it a 9.
Okay. That's generous of you, Mark. I can tell you didn't want to do it. I can
it
tell you didn't want to do it.
Yeah. I'm fine. All right. Next category. Does it hold up on a scale of 0 to 100?
Okay.
So do we think it holds up thematically?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think
men are still creeps and don't treat women as things to conquer as opposed to get to know.
And lots of the little observations definitely hold up, like the friend who's sleeping with the married person. It won't, or just the
in a bad
relationship.
Never
going to
leave her. Right, he's never going to leave her. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I know you're right. Like she never learns. That holds up.
Well, also something about that worked for her. The fact that it never was going
to
go beyond
also how
that.
They try to set up Meg with Bruno Kirby, but then he instantly is drawn to Carrie Fisher. That scene I love.
That's great.
There's also something poignant about the fact that we lost both of them, Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher, way too soon.
Yes,
and that's the couple that ends up together.
Mm. And they are both just like such tremendously talented performers.
You just love them.
And that movie really set them up so well. Like, a lesser actor could have done the dialogue Bruno Kirby has in that role, or Carrie Fisher,
right.
But they're like so good at it.
Yeah, they're like a perfect like secondary couple.
Can I go one more Nora Ephron compliment?
Yes, you may.
When Bruno and Carrie get together at that dinner, isn't it like she accidentally quotes one of his articles?
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's like, restaurants are the television for our generation or something like
theater,
that.
Theater, I think it was.
Okay, yeah, restaurants or theater. And he goes, I read somebody wrote restaurants of the modern theater.
Yeah, yeah,
he goes,
yeah.
I wrote that. But I remember whatever the quote was, I remember being like, that's interesting. Like even the fake quote, I was like, I want to read that.
It sounded like
fake
article. That article. Yeah,
like
yeah,
whatever
absolutely.
He wrote, this fake person. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like Nora fills stuff like that. Like,
did
it's
you
all
guys
thoughtful.
Are both former New Yorkers. Did you go to a lot of white tablecloth restaurants?
Not a lot, but
no,
occasionally.
No, but I sort of like... had a romantic ideal of it because of movies in New York, like the fancy, like a Smith and Wolensky's,
right?
Or I can only think of steak restaurants now, Peter Luger's. But like you go, you know, you just sit there and it's like you feel like you're a for real New York.
Peter Luger, like the gun.
Yeah, that's a steak place.
It's
in
a
Brooklyn.
Steak place.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I've been to a couple nice restaurants in New York. So cramped.
That's
typically,
true.
Typically, yes. Yep. That's New York.
They gotta make that rent.
They got to get in all the tables they can in there.
Give me a ranch style.
This movie holds up, I think this movie holds up great. I'm going to give it 100.
100! Nothing is cringy.
I think...
is anything cringy?
Well, there's some like... I mean,
the absence
if we want to be sort of like the fact that she has a Rolodex when... Like, no one has a paper Rolodex anymore.
Time, you know what I
but
mean?
But we're talking about how it holds up. You could ding it a few for that. The fact that no
that's
one uses actual phones.
If you're being really strict.
True. Yeah, I mean, if we're being... you know, some of us have integrity, Mark.
Well, if you meet him, I'd love to. Get to know him.
I'm thinking more about things like, if it was like, you got to ask for your father's permission if you're going to get married.
Right, like there's nothing like, that's like, you,
or
if you watch
movie,
it now, you're like, oh, we would rewrite that scene because of, we don't
say
that about...
And also, I think it's because it was written by a woman, and finally, I feel like the rest of the world finally caught up to her.
Yeah.
Like true. A lesser movie, I think it would have been like from the point of view of him, and like she maybe messed up.
John
something.
Hughes is a good parallel for Nora Ephron, I think. Another like super commercially successful, I think deserving of a lot of critical praise.
Correct.
But doesn't
I
always
agree.
Get that. But he always has big like problematic things.
Oh,
he'll always
yeah.
have a big like ethnic
like,
joke.
No, yes. like Long Duk Dong
or a
this.
Big like kind of sex joke or something. Mm-hmm. His like old National Lampoon days kind of come out. I mean, overall his movies have a real heart to them
yes,
that are
exactly.
sweet and just, and I love them.
That
but
maintains.
There's
but
always
yeah, there
something
are
like, ah, oh, why is this happening?
That's and true, and this movie doesn't
Ephron
really have
never
that.
Doesn't
yeah.
happen.
What are you going to give it, John?
I'll give it a 98.
98!
That Rolodex really pissed me off.
Okay.
Yeah. What should she have had, like an Apple Newton or something?
An Apple Watch? I don't know.
Apple Newton. pretty cutting edge.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'll give it a 99. We'll just split the difference
okay, okay, there.
There
you go.
Giving it a 99.
All right, pretty
giving,
good.
Making, oh, it is not number one. It is third in this category.
What's
for the, does it hold up? It is tied with Mission Impossible. Right, well, number one and number two. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Hold on. I got this
oh,
wrong. Okay, this is number two for Does It Hold Up. Number one, Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, it holds up. I mean, it also came out 10
yeah,
seconds
later,
ago.
Yeah. I mean, we're
so
not
guess
good.
It still holds up.
All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. Was this, I think the only thing you could do is maybe something with I'll Have What She's Having. As like
yeah,
a sound
she's the
clip
only drag
something.
Queen.
I
yeah.
mean, I think if you think of it not just visual representation, you could sort of make an argument for like the one-liners, the quips. Like there's something about that that sort of...
I
okay. someone
drag queen.
To
could
like
somebody
Harry
just do
Connick
some
Jr.?
Harry Connick Jr. songs?
Nobody
but
it,
that feels more
that.
Drag king than drag queen. I could see
yes.
that happening.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could be inspired by like the witticism of like Carrie Fisher or like that. I
You're
think
really
there's something. I try
this
to make a case.
Drag act is inspired by the witticism of Carrie Fisher.
I mean, a really creative drag queen could make something out of Carrie Fisher's character, and people would know it. Like, there'd be recognition to it, I think.
Well, generally, I think the idea is, like, iconic looks. Like,
yeah,
what are the
I think that is generally
looks?
True. Like, if someone
none. Meg Ryan's hair.
I mean, I saw this last night. I couldn't tell you what anybody was wearing.
Yeah, there's none.
It's tough.
It all just kind of blurs
I'm gonna together. I'm going to give it a 10.
Okay.
Again, just because... I'll have what she's had. Like these, some of these big quippy moments feel like drag humor.
You could maybe like punctuate that with the end of a song.
Yeah,
or
yeah. You could
certainly
you
throw those into
song.
Somebody else's persona.
Like if someone does like my neck, my back, my pussy in the crack, and then does I'll have what she's having. That's a number.
It's dollars.
So it exists as an ingredient that other people. I'm gonna bump it up because of that.
Okay.
To 20.
20. Wow. Okay.
Because there is no drag queen character inspiration, but there's fodder. To be used in other characters.
Okay.
Sure, you're panning for gold.
I am, I'm panning for gold. Well, I was strict on other things. Grant me one bunny grading on a curve.
Fair enough.
No, yeah. Hang on, I'm going to go down to 15.
15?
Okay. That's it, I won't change it again. 15.
Okay, all right.
That's more
all right.
accurate.
This is for going to the Library of Congress.
Another file for the useless room, sir.
Thank you. It goes with all of Jonathan Franzen's novels.
Whoa!
Why?
Really starting 2020 hot, Margaret.
Correction. Jonathan, I like the correction.
Awful.
Jonathan Franzen, where's this coming from?
His disappeared
is
up his own
mad
ass.
At Jonathan Franzen? Well, yes.
He's
the only author. Let's get into this. Is he the only author who's got his head up his own ass?
No, but he's one of the worst.
Your guts out of your mind.
Just do a Twitter search. He's insufferable.
I'm sure.
John, what are you going to give this on drag queen
For drag queen inspiration, I'm going to give it a 12.
12.
I think that's generous and nice. Mark, are you going to give it a negative 10?
No, I never do negatives.
He can't
that's
do negatives. He won't let it.
You can't go over 100 either. I'll give it a 10.
Okay.
All righty.
We fair. Happy?
Okay. Yep. I think that's fair.
All right. Next category, caper music. On a scale of 0 to 100. Is there much
caper music?
What's the one that you were the I knew you were the one?
It had to be you?
Had to be you.
Yeah, I mean, you could think of some
much.
Of those songs are sort of like romantic
love,
capers.
He's running through the streets at the end. He's running through the streets. That's
what's
kind
it,
of a
what's
caper.
The music that's playing then? Do we know?
I think it's
it's like Don't Get Around Much Anymore.
I don't know. That music is such a snooze to me. These old American songs.
Wow,
I loved
What's
it.
What's wrong with
I
you?
I feel like I've just heard it so much. Like after this movie, every romantic comedy and then every mall is just like American song. We got it. The Rat Pack. Jesus, set a trap.
Oh wow.
It had been sort of gone from the landscape for a little while, and Harry Connick brought it back.
Yeah, this was like his first big thing.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He won a Grammy for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah, I'll go six.
Yeah.
Six.
I'll go
It's
two.
A fun category.
Next category, teamwork on a scale of 0 to 100.
Why is that a category?
Hoosiers.
From Hoosiers.
There's your chosen family. It has to be a teamwork. Like Pose would score very well if we did like a
yeah
teamwork.
Exactly.
All right, I'll
I would think the most teamwork you could say Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher are trying to like work to get those two together a little bit.
Yes,
kind of.
There's
and
a
then Harry and Sally try to get them together.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's teamwork. There's pairs.
There's
all
some
over
teamwork.
This.
Yeah.
But nothing really beyond that.
I'm gonna say.
I mean, you could make a very stretch of an argument of all those couples that they interview throughout the movie that there's some sort of teamworkiness going there. You're celebrating their marriages.
I mean, I all romantic Again, comedies it's a stretch, are a celebration yeah. of teamwork, you know, the formation of a team. I'm going to say 17.
17. Those were all actors, though, in those old couples.
Yeah.
They weren't real.
Right, but they're presented as if it was
right.
a documentary.
Right, but they were based. Like, most of the stuff was based on actual real interviews.
Cute,
right. Yeah,
those
so for teamwork,
so great.
I will say, yeah, those are really fun. I'm going to say...
John's phone is blowing up.
12.
12, okay.
12, and then I'll give it a 15. I'm really threading the needle between you two.
Yeah.
Okay, next category. All right, Will, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people? I think that's a hate crime in some states. But
just the question, or?
No, to recommend When Harry Met Sally.
Oh,
that
would be a hate crime.
Yeah.
But better than a Jonathan Franzen novel.
That's true.
Not likely.
Not very likely.
For Nora Ephron and for the Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, and if it's a comedian friend, I might be like, oh, you've never seen Harry Met Sally? Like, it's sort of like, think it's kind of comedy.
It's like
canon.
A good like reference to know. Like it's definitely something to see.
And I don't think it's unenjoyable. I don't think I would be
absolutely
subject-
not.
Like it's not like I'm making them watch Hoosiers, for example. Like or,
we watched Hoosiers.
We did watch Hoosiers.
It scored very well.
It's great.
No, it didn't actually.
It didn't. But well, I mean, I've always enjoyed
just
Hoosiers
as a movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't think if this is if somebody was a gay if somebody's like recommend a movie for this gay person and all you know about them is that they are homosexual, Hoosiers would not be like early on my list.
No,
no.
And if they know that I'm picking it based on knowing that, I would. Only for, I'm gonna throw. I was gonna say zero, but like because of like comedians and the quippiness of it, I'm gonna say 10.
10.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 12.
Yeah,
12. I mean, the Nora Ephron-ness of it, I feel like she's like essential viewing. I'll give it 17.
Okay.
All right. Next category: how much felt is in this movie on a scale of 0 to 100?
Did you do the color of money? How did this category?
The Muppet Stick Man.
Muppet Stick Man. Did very well.
How much?
Let's go.
How much?
So,
yeah, all right,
so there was a bunch of like holiday things.
Yeah, there's a lot of like lush, thick fabrics. Like,
and also, wasn't Carrie Fisher's character? She designed like she did like shop windows.
Did she?
I think so. I think that was like her job.
Wow, what a Sex in the City type of job.
Yeah, it's a very Upper West Side kind
like
of career.
Two people
have
that job.
Yeah. So there's definitely, because there were a lot of like window, like store windows in it.
There were?
There were, yes.
Yes.
And there were mannequins in those store windows. Put
yeah,
a pin in that.
Right.
Yeah, so that, and then I guess the wedding, is there like a lot of felt at weddings usually?
I mean, there's
really.
Like Christmas trees, there's felt underneath Christmas
trees.
Yeah,
there's usually like ornaments. The Christmas the usually has some felt going on
there.
We're
not swimming in felt here, though.
We're not
no,
swimming,
we're not
in,
swimming
it,
in,
no.
in felt, no. Pretty low felt, but not, I would say a non-zero amount of felt.
Sure, I agree.
That's fair.
I'm going to go 12.
12.
Like the apostles.
Yeah.
Never forget.
How those felt
Never
apostles.
Never forget.
I will go. I'll go 15.
15.
Never forget where I remember where I was when I heard about the crucifixion. I was in school. They made us all go home.
Well, that was the first 9/11. I'll give this 15.
15.
Oh,
okay.
16. Sure. Why not?
Okay. 16. Sure. Your finger slipped. Why not?
Yeah. Kick it back.
All right. Next category: facial hair.
Okay.
Of 0 to 100.
So this we've got
Bruno
Kirby.
Kirby's. We got a lot of facial hair.
Billy Crystal
had a beard for a lot of it. And also in the very first one, when they're still they just graduated from college, he had like sideburns that were a little
sort
of fun.
The facial hair really indicates his where he's at emotionally too.
It's hair on your face. Why would that not be facial hair?
I just think it has to be like mouth.
Mouth hair. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Beard doesn't count.
A beard does. Yes.
Okay.
But like just like
not
crazy
chops to me is more like that's your hair.
I see. Yeah. Okay. I see that.
Fair.
But I think the beard is so crucial to show, I think, like sort of depression and recovery in this
sure.
movie that I think it is facial hair. And
it tells the story.
It's big.
Yeah. It was chosen for
to
do two things. Yeah.
So I'm going to say 75.
75.
Okay. I'm going to say I like the Bruno Kirby mustache. I'm a huge fan of.
Yes.
And I think, yes, Billy Crystal's beard is like thought went into it. Choices were made. It wasn't just
that's
like,
right.
oh, he's got a beard today. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
so
a very deliberate beard.
It's also a way to like convey time passage.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So But it's not like huge, huge. I will give it 45.
45.
That's probably more fair.
I'm going to give it a 60.
Okay.
Because I do think the beard tells a story.
I thought you were Grinchy, but sometimes John's the Grinch.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
And Mark is Santa.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sometimes. Next category: shattered glass on a scale of 0 to 100. Is there any?
I didn't really see any.
There's none.
This is like the opposite.
Can't remember.
Like,
he spits out a window.
Right.
No
one like got like through a glass at any
is there
of their
Jewish
things?
Wedding? Is it
no?
Nope. Zero.
Tough
I'm going
to
say zero.
Tough
yeah, zero for shattered glass. What a very specific category.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would.
Someone's really
feel
waiting
bad
for John Wick 3
a
to
zero
happen.
In that, but
it's
yes.
fire.
I will give it. I'm going to give it a 1 just for the him spitting on it and the spitting at the window.
That's fair.
Because a grape seed is stuck on it?
Yeah. Something was shattered and there was glass.
It made me laugh. I love that scene.
this is tied for last place with Good Will Hunting in shattered glass.
I guess it's fair. I guess it's fair.
All right, next category. The male gaze, G-A-Y-Z-E. How horny is Rob Reiner's camera for the male form?
For the male form.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
Not he couldn't be less interested.
Yeah. There's very. I mean, there's not a ton of female form in this movie, really.
Right.
True. Yeah.
I mean, Meg Ryan is beautiful, but sure. She's, but she's not like.
She don't have to do much. Necessarily.
Yeah. She's not like comes out like in a slinky outfit or something.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
True.
But Bruno's got shorts.
He's got those denim shorts, which gives it something. There was one shot also in the very beginning.
Comedy. Like, we're falling in love with the people.
When they're in the car where Billy Crystal goes into the back to get those grapes, and you just have a butt shot of him.
But don't you think that's, like, played for laughs? Like, isn't it a man's butt? Haha, isn't that ridiculous?
I don't think it's even played for that. Like, I think it's barely even registered that that's what
happened. I thought
happened.
It was meant to be more like he's being obnoxious. Yeah. Wasn't that the joke that he's being obnoxious?
That he's just like, reaching back to the back. And
putting his butt in her face.
Mm-hmm. He's not very horny for the male form in this.
Rob Reiner certainly isn't. He's got some explaining to do.
Yeah, you have to apologize. You're canceled for not being horny for the physical forms of your actors.
Show
that's
us
right.
Of Billy Crystal.
You get canceled for being sexless.
Thank you.
What zero.
You zero.
I'm going to give it 9 for Bruno Kirby.
Okay,
nine.
That's nice.
I'll give it a 2. Giving it an average of 3.67.
Okay.
Next category, angry phone hangups on a scale of 0 to 100.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some, right? Like, there's she hangs up on him. I just can't do this anymore. And it's not like a slam, but it's like, but it is like,
but
a,
it's not not,
but it's like, this is over.
Yeah. It's a hang up. It's a devastating one. Yeah.
It's a definitive hang up.
It's one of those, like, because it's not angry, it hurts even more. Ah. It's like a measured, like, can't do this anymore.
It's like your mom saying like she's just disappointed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a devastating hang up.
That's true. There's also that fun scene of them.
Okay. Yeah.
Doing the three different sets. I mean, they're all like, call me tomorrow. Call me tomorrow.
Yeah. They're all pretty polite.
Yeah. But
this is a pretty civil movie.
Yes. Pretty civil. You thought a civil action was civil?
Stand back.
Stand.
Harry's about to meet Sally. Things have never been more civil. So what are you going to give this, an angry phone hang-ups? 15.
I will do...
God, this movie's scoring very low.
9. Yeah. I think it's a great movie, but I don't think it's so not gay.
Yeah. It's interesting to know that.
We could have told you. All you had to do was ask.
I never did. Cancel
never
me.
Did.
Cancel
I'm
me.
Giving it a 7.
Okay.
All right. Next category. Titular theme song.
Oh,
0
big.
To 100. There's a song where it says when Harry met
Sally.
And that's
when Harry met Sally.
Titular.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, no, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Zero. He finally met
zero.
Sally.
Yeah, 0. There's right.
It's Sally. It's zero. Sally. It's
it
Sally.
Has a, it has what is a
I do
to
think
a
you could give
signature
it some
song.
Points for
yeah,
like
you
having,
can.
It does have like an iconic soundtrack album.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So I can't fairly give it a 0. You know what I mean? Cuz
sure,
like
yeah,
a,
I get that.
We identify
you associate the song It Had to Be You with this movie.
Or I just see the cover of that CD of like
which you
know
love
I mean?
And it makes you happy.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You can't wait to put it on.
Can't wait. It feels like Christmas every day.
Do you think someone's
going
to make you dress up? Is that what makes you worry about this movie?
No, just it's going to put me to sleep.
Okay.
I will give it a 10.
10.
15.
You're changing it from 0.
Yes.
All right. All right.
Well, once you explained it.
All right.
Once you justified it.
I'll give it a 7.
And I hope this beats Goodwill Hunting for a lowest movie. We'll see.
All right. Next category. Entrances with pizzazz. On a scale of 0 to 100.
Is there any?
It's all kind of people just kind of are there.
Well,
walk.
He runs into the party at the end.
That's true.
He runs into, to win her back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's out
dramatic.
Of breath, and he's like...
That's pretty that's good. Something. That's some pizzazz, I would
there's
say.
There's some pizzazz going on there. I mean, the first time we see Billy Crystal, he's just making out with that girl. Is that something?
Ugh. No, it's not an entrance.
No.
Gotcha. I mean, the camera pans.
I mean, she
yeah.
drives in and is just very nice. And like,
that's
there's
true.
Her car.
She's got that Farrah Fawcett hair, though, which is nice. It's a little pizzazzy.
Yeah. Drag queen inspiration? Nope. Nope. Not even close.
I think that's maybe it.
Yeah, it's going to be low. What do you say?
Well, okay. A big one at one of the main points of the storm.
Yeah.
20.
Okay.
20.
There is a big entrance.
That's true.
It, you know.
I'll give it a 10.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 25.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
What?
Look at this.
He runs into it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay.
He's making a scene.
It's at New Year's Eve. The clock
that's
is
true.
Ticking.
Okay.
Man, it's a fun movie.
And we
it's
just had movie. New Year's Eve last night.
That's
remember?
True. We're
yeah,
still we're hung
just,
over from
we're
it.
Flush with the memory of our recent New Year's Eve.
All right, next category: non-traditional murder weapons. On a scale of 0 to 100, are there any?
Well, There's Carrie no Fisher murder. Is mad about the wagon wheel table, and it's implied that if she's pushed too far, she could kill somebody with it.
That's true.
Sure.
That would be unconventional to kill someone with a wagon wheel.
Table.
But it's also just a joke.
That's true. Sure. And none of what I just said happens.
That's true. I mean, if anything, it's like depression is going to kill them.
Is that not the most traditional murder weapon in
no,
some
it
way?
Is not the most traditional murder
I think
weapon.
A lot of people die because of kill the romance. Yeah.
A lot of people have died. It's pretty traditional to die because
sure.
of depression.
That's a good point. Yeah, it is more traditional than like a gun or a knife.
I think more people die because they're depressed than have been actually mm-hmm. murdered.
Okay. All right. But are people murdered by depression?
Well, that's what you're saying.
Well, I'm just putting things out there.
He has a joke where he says, call me back. You're not calling me back. You're either mad at me or you either don't want to talk to me, you whatever, whatever, or you desperately want to talk to me and are trapped under something heavy.
That's true. There you go. You give some points for that.
That's a line of dialogue.
Something heavy, yeah.
It's giving something the image
we're talking
being
two
trapped.
Or three points here. We're not talking.
Yeah. Pretty rough category. Yeah. So what are you going to give it, Will?
Two.
I mean, it's
a generous two.
Yeah.
A generous two.
I'll give it four.
A point for Harry, a point for Sal. I'll give it a two as well.
All righty.
Give an average of 2.67, second from the bottom in new non-traditional murder weapon, higher only than Submarine, the original Aode coming of age movie. It's British.
Okay.
Next category, breath acting on a scale of 0 to 100.
I think for this one, we got to go high. The whole orgasm scene, that's breath acting.
There you go, John.
It's the most iconic scene.
It's one of the most iconic scenes
in all
of comedy.
I would say it's the most.
The most iconic scene in that
90.
Movie.
90.
I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 95.
Yes.
95.
Yes.
I'll give it an 80 just because it's just that one scene.
Okay.
Boy. I'm so sorry. But this is, wow. You are, When Harry Met Sally is number one in breath acting.
Breath acting? Yes. Yes.
Number two, Scream with an 81.67. And that has breath acting in the title.
And throughout.
True. Wow. Good job. All right, next category, mannequins on a scale of 0 to 100.
There are some mannequins in store windows. I definitely looked them and I noted them and I said, okay, there are mannequins in this movie.
Real mannequins this time?
Real, actual mannequins you would put in a store window.
Because you've said like, oh, there's a chair with a coat on it. It's a mannequin.
I have never said that. I have said there have been fake dolls.
You said snowmen were
snowmen
mannequins.
Were like mannequins? Sure, why not? They're modeling clothes.
What do you like to play board games with, Mark? Are you all about those rules? You're like, free parking, no money on that.
No, nothing goes
in. No, you put money in. You put all the taxes
not
in.
The rules. Not in the rules.
Well, that's the Rennie family rules.
Oh, I see.
Oh, here we go. So you are loose.
And I'm the god of this game, and John as well. Yeah. This is the system we made.
Would it be grudging allowing into the throne room?
Notice who has the spreadsheet in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, right. I've shared this document with you, John. You have a laptop in front of you. You could open it just as well.
Well, but then it would be tough.
Where's the game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you going to give us on mannequins?
Fuck.
Have you never considered how many mannequins are in When Harry Met Sally before?
No. Or any movie.
Not even when watching Mannequin?
I mean, I didn't spend a lot of... I mean, like, there it is. Like, I didn't spend a lot of time, like, diving into
there's the mannequin. There they are. Have you ever owned a mannequin?
I've never... No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it interesting?
Yeah. I borrowed a friend's mannequin once.
Okay.
I will give it... What did you give it your score?
Five.
I'm going to give it 10.
I'll give it a 10. I will defer to John on this.
Thank you.
All right, next category. Dramatic lighting on a scale of 0 to 100.
Yeah. It's a good category. Pretty staid.
Yeah, it's
soft,
all very natural,
very
sort
bland.
Of.
Bland.
At the end, it's kind of got like that party lighting, but there's not a lot. Zero. There's no dramatic lighting in this movie. I will not be party to a sham score anymore.
Wow, okay.
And you know who the DP was? Barry Sonnenfeld,
was
director
really?
of Men in Black and the Addams Family movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He was also DP on a lot of Coen Brothers stuff.
Oh,
I think he was the DP of Raising Arizona.
Great movie.
I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, I'll give it a 2.
Okay.
Pretty under. This is now scored the lowest in dramatic lighting.
That's fair.
Okay. With a 1.67. The next lowest, Midnight Madness, and that has a 31.67. So 30 more points.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do anything with this one.
Next category, strident women on a scale strident. Of 0 to 100.
Is anybody strident in this movie at all?
I mean, even with our generous
I mean, you could
definition.
Say a little bit with Meg Ryan with the way she orders food.
Yeah.
Sure.
You could give
yeah.
it a little
I
bit
would
of
believe that.
That.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher, I wouldn't call her strident,
she's nice.
But
she's not really
like,
strident.
Helpful, good but she's friends. A little like pushy when it's like you need to have like when she's like you need to have a boyfriend, you need to find someone like someone else might be with your husband kind of thing. There's like a little bit there. It's not a lot,
sure,
but she does have a little bit of like a pushiness, which is just like maybe that's not what Meg Ryan needs right now.
A soft push,
yeah, just a, or just a gentle like let her be herself.
Yeah, I'm gonna yeah. say 15 because there's. Two big, strong female characters who are speaking. Mm-hmm. It's just the vibe of the movie.
They can't help but be strident.
They're
which normally you hate.
I normally hate it. That normally turns me off of a movie. Mm-hmm. Yep.
John, what are you going to give it?
I will give it... I think I'll go 15 as well. I don't really think they're strident. I feel bad about this category because I don't feel like being assertive is strident, but...
Sure.
I don't want to give it just all these zeros.
But I think it's a good category to judge how gay something
is. I understand that. Yes, I agree.
All right, next category, fun fonts on a scale of 0 to 100. I think the title sequence is pretty good. I like those fonts.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple title cards of like New York City a couple years later, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, those
it's
are
all very
generic.
It felt very much like they just opened up Word and that was the font that was there.
Right. Which
Verdana will do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that software didn't exist yet, but I know your point.
Sure. Thank you.
They opened a print shop on their Apple.
Ah. Get imaginary forces on the phone.
Yeah, 5. I mean, there's like...
5?
Yeah, I'm going to go 5 as well.
5? Mm-hmm. Guys, those opening fonts are pretty great.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 35.
All righty.
All right, next category. Cheerworthy cameos on a scale of 0 to 100.
Rob Reiner's mother?
Yeah, Estelle Reiner. Classic. I'll have what she's having.
But we don't know. We only knew that after the fact.
Yeah. What do you mean? But it's a cameo, and it's...
But it's a one-line like, part that like,
but who is she? You don't know her, though.
But it's not celebrity cameo. It's just a cameo that
it's
you're like, oh,
cameo
my God, that was great.
Kind of implied.
I know what you're saying.
Not necessarily.
I would normally think like, oh, look, it's...
You're
so
cheering because it's Rob Reiner's
Here's
mother?
What I say. Like,
the
if,
line
if,
she
the
becomes
gets
famous
laugh.
In the line.
Yeah. I think if... When Harry Met Sally is a play, then at the curtain call, that woman comes out, the audience erupts. The applause gets higher.
Yeah.
I think that is undeniable.
She said the line we love.
Yes, she did it. She's the one.
I think it's true, though.
Yeah.
It's a really magic line.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it, promote her. She's an instant celebrity by the time the line finishes.
I agree.
I think if that was like Doris Roberts saying that was in one shot said it, then that would bump it up for me.
Yeah,
I understand that, but I think it's a cameo that is great that you're like that was great and you do cheer
it.
That
it doesn't
cameo.
Fit the description, sure. But this is it.
All right,
so, I get what you're saying. Like she doesn't like when she first appears on the screen, you don't cheer, but right. When it's over, you're like that was great.
I'm gonna say I'll take that into account that it's not your traditional definition of like a. What's the adjective for cameo?
Cheerworthy.
Yeah. It's not the way that we usually get it, but I'm going to say 80.
80
instead of 100.
I'm going to
know the line is 100 yeah. Iconic, but
I think for me because yeah. of the line it's I'm going to say 95.
95. The line is cheerworthy, award-worthy. Give them a WGA award.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it a 20.
Wow, that okay. seems so
All right.
It's
a cheerworthy line. It's not a
but it's
cheerworthy
her cameo.
Cameo.
That I think you're making it a weird.
I'm not. You don't know who that is until after the fact.
But it's not. But it's just the cameo.
I totally understand your argument. I'm just my gut is telling me that's a cheerworthy cameo.
All right.
Okay.
It's still got an average of 65.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the make or break category. I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
I think that this is a category that it deserves to score high in.
Well, it got a 65. Next category: memorial moments. On a scale of 0 to 100.
What is that?
Is there a moment where they take a moment and think about those who've lost? I remember dear Gregory, he loved his apple cider.
I mean, they do sing Auld Lang Syne.
They do.
Because it's New Year.
Yeah. There's something like memorial
a memory,
sad.
Yeah, sort of like a, oh, the year that passed. Yeah.
Their friendship died for a little while.
Do they have a moment where they think about that or talk about that?
I guess maybe him like calling is maybe a little like.
A little bit like that, sure.
A little.
Somewhat. Yeah, we're grabbing. It's okay.
They're just living in the moment, I feel.
There's none. It's zero. There's zero. It doesn't happen.
I think that just the fact that this thing, Auld Lang Syne, I'm going to give it 6 points.
Fair enough. I'll give it 6 as well.
Okay.
That's Auld Lang Syne for you. This is last place in Memorial Moments with a 4.
Uh-huh.
All righty. All right, next category, a feels song. Is there a song that puts you in your feels? Well, they use Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, It Had to Be You gives me the feels. Don't Get Around Much Anymore gives me the feels. You hate these songs because you hate America, I guess, but I like...
You hate joy. Know,
Death to the Flag, I always say it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Death to the Flag. Like, even an anti-American wouldn't go around saying Death to the Flag.
Yeah, what's
you walk into an ISIS camp and say Death to the Flag, they'd be like, hey, tone it down.
Easy.
Guy, come on.
Come on. We need somewhere to go.
We're just watching a movie here. I would say, wait, what's the category I've lost?
A feels song.
Yeah,
in your feels.
90.
Yeah, I think there's not like a specific moment, but I do think the overall sort of like effect of the soundtrack, I will give it a 60.
60. I'll give it a 60 as well. Because it is like, yeah, these are emotional, sentimental songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Chock full of them. All right, next category, macabre. How macabre is When Harry Met Sally?
Not very macabre.
Not
almost
really.
It's anti-macabre.
They mentioned the Egyptians at one
point. It's so Pier 1.
It's very Pier 1, yeah.
Yeah.
Super Crate and Barrel.
It was Pier 666.
Then we're getting points.
Nobody died. There's
nothing like creepy or weird necessarily.
Ghoulish. Just the fact that Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher are paired off together and they both died young. But that's a stretch.
That's a real stretch.
I don't think Rob Reiner knew anything when he cast
that. That wasn't part of the casting. Let's say 8.
8.
I'll give it a 3.
There are a lot of dead leaves.
There you
okay.
go.
I'm really rubbing off on you, Mark.
Billy Crystal pushes over at Mime at one point, right?
No, that's Dustin Hoffman and Tootsie.
Oh, right. Oh. Yes. God, what a pull, Sean.
Thank you. There's a reason
kind of
I'm here.
Yeah, they're both creepy guys who don't know how to be real men.
It's kind of like, well, unlikely romantic leads in a New York-based comedy. That's great.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Well, When Harry Met Sally...
I'm so impressed that you grabbed that so fast. Can we just stop for a minute? That was incredible.
Well, it's Tootsie. Come on.
That was still top of mind.
It's great. Oof.
It's an iconic moment.
When Harry Met Sally is currently our least macabre movie, which feels right.
It feels fair.
We've only done 6 of these so far.
Yeah,
so
in this category. Okay, yeah.
All right. We're like 4 away from your category. Just
can't
so
wait.
You know.
I think I have it in mind.
Okay,
great.
Next category, vibrato. 0 to 100. How much vibrato? Well, Harry Connick Jr.?
Yeah, the fact that those old songs are sung with more vibrato, so yeah. We can talk about this while Will recovers himself. But vibrato... When vibrato was pitched, also what was
double
also
meaning.
Sort of like the double meaning was like some like there's yes the literal meaning of vibrato like with singing and stuff like that, but there was also Zach and Jess pitched this and it was like something extra, something that's like more that is like oh, this is more.
There's none of that in this movie
that,
right?
than I expected or wanted, but you like it, but it's still like a positive
Everyone's
thing.
Pretty grounded in this.
It's a very
yeah,
grounded.
It's real.
Yeah,
it is.
There's not
a
lot
a
that's like over the top or a bigger. Mm. Yeah. This would be a terrible opera.
It really would be. It'd be the
jamming with
opera.
Faith praise. Avengers Endgame, great opera.
Space opera. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, Thanos. It's not over till Thanos crumbles.
Yeah.
Until his big production number, right?
Yeah.
So, what are you going to give this on vibrato?
5.
Yeah, I'll go 5 as well.
5.
It just doesn't have the spirit of vibrato.
I'm giving 5. The zhuzhiness of it is just for Meg Ryan's hair.
I'm going to give it a 12 for the soundtrack.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
That's where we're at. All right. Next category, wigs. On a scale of 0 to 100. Well, it's Billy Crystal's terrible wig.
Yeah, Billy Crystal's
opening the entire film with a shot of an awful, awful wig.
It's awful?
Yeah, you can just tell it's like plopped on like a bad toupee.
It's just because his face looks old, so the hair doesn't make
any sense. Well, I think that you have to make him look a little. He's just graduated college, so he's got to look younger.
And it's like clearly real sideburns under.
Can you blame the wig, or is it just like you can't make an old man look young, especially in 1989?
Well, it's not like we're blaming the wig. It's just like how our wigs.
There is a wig.
We're aware it's a wig. It's like,
yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Okay.
That's the category.
Okay.
Sure, just wigs.
Wigs.
Well, that's a wig front and center pretty early, and that's maybe the only wig. 20.
Was Meg Ryan's hair in the opening scene a wig?
I don't know if it was a wig.
So natural,
it was very different. Yeah.
They
went like a Farrah Fawcett way with it, which is different than the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
But I think that's like period
Maybe they
correct.
Just did it. Yeah.
And I actually did love her her eyeshadow in the opening section. Like it was really like great. I was into that.
Great.
That was my home eroticism.
For wigs? I forget what it, 20.
I think 20. He said 20
because the prominence of the one wig.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to go 18.
18. You know, I'll give it a 20 as well.
Okay.
All right, next category. Themes of mothers. Scale of 0 to 100.
Okay, so I thought about this one. So the one thing that I really have for that is at that brunch with Carrie Fisher and the Rolodex.
Yeah.
They talk about like she has her thing of like, "Oh my god, I'm almost 40. I'm going to like have like she talks about like having kids and stuff like that and how like even though Carrie Fisher's like, "That's not for 8 years." She's like, "But it's still coming."
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
There is that talk of like, "Oh my, like the biological clock is brought up sort of faintly, but it is brought up in that scene." But like her actual, like any of the characters' mothers or
wasn't
parents
there
is not really
a scene where she goes
thing.
To her boyfriend at the time and says, "I want a family."
Oh, right.
So like, he says,
no.
"I don't want that." And that's why they break up.
Yeah. So there are some themes of motherhood in this movie. It's not nothing, but it's not.
You were good, John. You really, you
lot.
Really find, you really search.
Well,
the
we
corners.
Know these categories.
We, these categories
time.
Are
yeah,
really like baked in. Our,
we have a certain
I would not
advantage.
Have been scanning for mannequins.
Exactly.
Well, now I guarantee next time you watch,
I really
a movie,
like the early episodes of this podcast, by the way, where they didn't even know that you were going to be asking them how gay the movie was. So Drew Singh's talking about the third man. He had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We still don't tell
it's
people.
More honest. Yeah.
It's so funny. You have like no idea. You come walking in, it's like, what? How gay is Goodwill Hunting?
Oh, Gabrus knew exactly what he was doing.
He knew it. So what are you going to give us on themes of mothers, Will?
15.
15.
I'm going to
actually
go
higher because the biological clock is a big part of this movie.
That's true.
I'm going to say 25.
Yeah, I'm also going to go 25.
25. I'll give it 25. Give it an average of 25.
Wow.
All right. Second to last category, last being yours.
Okay.
Pool trouble. Scale of 0 to 100. Is there any pool trouble in this? Is there even a pool?
I don't think
it's so. It's a New York movie. There's not a lot of pools. You know, this is not
well,
LA.
Well, people go to the gym. Aren't there pools in gyms?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Sure. She was maybe in a pool of sweat in that tap class. Maybe that was, maybe she slipped. Maybe there was some trouble.
But she didn't seem to be having trouble with him.
That's true. That's true. The dating pool. There was trouble with the dating pool.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what the category means, like, right?
Well, I mean, so you can throw a few points in for that.
Sure.
It's not a binary
right,
sort
I'll
of answer.
All right, I'll give 5 for the dating pool.
Fair enough.
I'm going to give 10 for the dating
10.
Pool.
10. You know, I'll give it 8 for the dating pool.
All righty.
The needle.
All right. Will, it is
Will,
now time for
turn.
You
I know,
to
I know
add
a lot
a
of these categories are funny, but I think I have a category that is appropriate for the movie. I think it's not funny, but I think quips.
Quips. Okay.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's like, you know.
That's a great
that's
one.
That's great.
And this movie's got perfect quips, so I feel comfortable giving it 100 for
100.
Quips.
100.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 98 for quips on this one. I think it's pretty solid.
I think it's a fair. You tell me, is that a fair thing to evaluate?
I think that's
I think
a
it's
great
a great
prism
one.
Through
yeah, yeah.
The more quips, okay. The gayer movie is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to give it 85 just because I think I would give Adam's Family Values more. There's more quips.
Right, right.
Fair.
It sets up a little better.
Sure,
for
sure.
You.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
More quip friendly.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So
pretty
now
much just
we are
quips, really.
Yeah.
We are now into the final bonus round.
And these are all binary, so it's not like a, it's like
not
yes,
yes
or no.
Or no.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Gotcha.
All right, so straight actors playing gay roles, -5% each instance.
Doesn't really
Zero.
Happen in this
happen.
Movie, so yeah, so it does not
yeah,
get penalized.
The opposite of a sin.
Okay, and then positive portrayal of homosexuality, +15%.
But
there's
since there's
none,
no,
right?
no portrayal of yeah. homosexuality, so it's neither. So it's not rewarded for
actually,
that
actually, movie four, I think we got to flip those. Say positive portrayal first and then do the game. I'll talk
okay,
about
sure.
Off,
funny,
off
yeah.
air.
Okay,
good pitch,
great.
Good, pitch.
good
punch up.
Good punch up. I thought about this the other night when I was going to bed because that's how sad I am. All right. Then finally, -50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not the movie Cruising.
So it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
Okay. So out of a possible 3,200 points. When Harry Met Sally has scored 515.33, giving it an average of 16.10, making it the 27th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as What About Bob, but gayer than Goodwill Hunting.
So you are second from the bottom. Is that correct?
That
is correct.
It,
oh, technically they're tied. Oh, they're tied
for the bottom.
Okay.
16.10.
Sick there. Tied for the bottom.
It's not just a heterosexual movie. It's like a real milquetoast. Right. It is like the part of heterosexuality that does not overlap. You could do a heterosexual movie that has like, for want of a better term, like gay energy or like
absolutely.
Aesthetic.
Yes.
And this doesn't even do that. This is like the straight-laced, tight-assed.
In its defense, it is not homophobic. It's it doesn't feel
it's
like
a hateful
like a
movie.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of toxic. Well, I guess maybe there is toxic.
Being written by a woman and with just four characters who are relatable and likable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you were saying, like, recommend it to a gay friend to watch this movie. No, but like, if any of my friends were like, oh, I watched Harry Met Sally, I would, even if it was someone who I knew it wasn't like their jam, I'd be like, oh, I bet you like that movie.
Yeah. I'd be shocked to find someone who hates this movie.
Yeah. Like, I have a podcast about the Beatles, and the Beatles are not for everybody, but it was like, it's never a bad time to listen to the Beatles. It's boring at worst. I mean,
I could always do without that Within You, Without You song. I mean,
Okay. Sure.
That one song. Take it off the playlist.
That one song.
During those 3.5 minutes, you're in a bad place, and then you go,
oh my God, boy, we get it. You went to India. Checked your passport. Congratulations.
Oh, sitar.
Will, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this moment?
Can you say the name of my podcast again? Screw it. We're just going to talk about
comics. Screw it. We're just going to talk about comics.
That's it. Oh, and check out my Twitter feed. It's Will Hines, WILLHINES. It's all lies. Please check it out.
You're always talking about the great
Twitter.
Things you're getting done.
That's right. Twitter Will is having a great life.
Right. Well, thank you
so
much,
Will.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. We'll be right back.
We're back. Oh, that was a lot of fun.
What a wonderful break. We did face masks. We're hydrated.
Feels so good. So replenished.
Well, we knew it wasn't going to go well.
I was like, it was going to be that bad. It's one of those things where it's a great movie. It's just non-gay. Just non-gay. Not anti-gay, but just the absence of gay.
Yes. Gay.
Un-gay is what it is.
Un-gay.
But still great.
Still great. We got a review.
We got a review from iTunes. This one is from King Duncan 42, and it's titled Felt. It says, this has lately become one of my favorite podcasts. The Byzantine scoring system, the hilarious bickering. Do we bicker? I don't know.
Absolutely.
The startling array of movie guests, genres, and guests, all in the service of finding the gayest movie ever. At the time of this printing, still The Muppets Take Manhattan. So much fun.
Still
true. The Muppets Manhattan has been unbeatable.
All you need to do is a movie with a positive portrayal of homosexuality, I think, would make it. It's 15% of points. That's huge.
Right, but if you don't have broken glass, if you don't have mannequins, you don't have facial hair, it's still tough.
So few movies have gotten that bonus.
Well, that's true. Most of the movies we've done, though, have been older movies, and I just think it's harder to find those.
It's going to
happen. The farther back
one day.
You go. It's got to happen.
And it's going to be so exciting.
Oh, my God.
Goes.
The
so
day it
stay
happens.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. 2020, it's going to happen.
Speaking of 20, we're starting. We're not skipping a beat. We're going right into our next series.
Our next series.
Tribute
yes.
of the Oscars. We're doing 5 weeks of movies that have won or were nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Yes.
So it's a cavalcade of women being weirdos.
Of supporting women.
Dying of diseases. Fighting for
coughing
their family.
Into a bloody handkerchief.
Yeah, telling their friend to do it, girl.
Being real sassy or something.
Thelma Ritter.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned
next
for that.
Week, next, there'll be 5 weeks of that leading up to the Oscars.
So what is our movie for next week?
As of this recording, we are going to be covering The Fighter.
The Fighter.
Melissa Leo. Notorious Kook.
Oh, can't wait. That's another one that I don't think is going to necessarily score high, but it'll be so fun to talk about.
It'll be fun to talk
so
about.
So much
it's
fun to talk
available
about.
Available on Netflix. Watch it now.
Yes.
And then you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at @2oldqueens.
Yes, or you can email us at 2oldqueens@gmail.com.
And then that's it
I
for
think
now.
That's
Happy
it.
New Year,
Happy
everyone.
New Year.
We
I hope
love
you have a
you.
Wonderful, exciting, safe 2020. I'm sure it's going to be very bland and uneventful.
Nothing exciting will happen.
Nope, not at all.
Well, that's it.
Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.